At this time, you may be seated. And at this time, if you would please take your pew Bibles and open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. That'll be on page 751. Page 751, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We're going to read the first 21 verses of this chapter. Gospel of John, chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what has been done through God." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask that you would please open up once again to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, is a monumental, pivotal passage of Scripture. Because as Jesus is talking, he's talking to a religious leader. And, you know, in the process of this talking, he makes us begin to realize that life is far more important over there than what it is here. And that life, we can live and not have life. We can be alive in body and yet dead in spirit. And when we are dead in spirit, we are eternally without hope. This particular encounter that Jesus has, I find very interesting because of the individual that he is having this conversation with. This is not a stupid man. This is not a biker. This is not someone who has not had any association with the church. But he is talking to a religious leader. He is talking to a Pharisee. He's talking to a person who has studied the Old Testament and studied and studied and studied to the point that he knows the law inside out. That's how he became a Pharisee. And so he knows what the Scriptures teach. And yet he stands before Jesus as he's talking with him at night, and he's a little befuddled about this guy. And as he is talking with him, he says, man, and I believe that Nicodemus's question is sincere. I believe that he is totally honest when he brings out in that second verse and he says, Rabbi or teacher, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now remember, this is a guy who has studied it. This is a guy who is aware of Moses and some of the amazing things that Moses was able to accomplish because of his yieldedness to God. You remember, Moses was amazing when he just carried that stick around and it did whatever he wanted it to do. Throw it on the ground, becomes a snake. Pick it up, becomes a stick. Uses that as he walks into the water and the seas part. And they don't walk across the sea in the mud, but it says that it became as dry land. And so as the children of Israel are crossing the Red Sea, and the sea is piled up on the sides, and, you know, all of whatever God is using to miraculously keep that parted, the children of Israel walk across on dry land. I mean, it is absolutely incredible. This is a guy who knows all about Adam. This is a guy who has read that Old Testament. He knows the Psalms. He sings them all the time. He knows the words of the prophets. He knows about all of the prophecies concerning the Christ, and yet he is amazed at this Jesus. And he hasn't made the connection yet. You know what? A lot of people haven't made the connection yet. A lot of people don't understand yet this whole concept that Jesus talked about while Nicodemus comes to him. Nicodemus says, man, you're a pretty good teacher. It's pretty amazing, the things that you do. God must be active in you. Because no one else could do these amazing things unless God is with them. And Jesus said, hey, tell you what, you got to be born again. Simple answer. You got to be born again. Nicodemus goes, he probably had hair to scratch. Nicodemus goes, what do you mean? What are you talking about? A guy can't enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he? Jesus goes, no, Nick. No. That which is born of the flesh, that's flesh. Who we are is who we are. The difference is that which is born of the Spirit is spiritual. And that's where birth for eternity must come. Doesn't come from our moms. Comes from our Heavenly Father. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And Nicodemus, if you want eternal life, you must be born again. in the Spirit of God. Do you know why Jesus pointed that out? Because of a problem that's common to man. That's why. That's why he pointed it out. I'm going to take a survey here. All right? Anyone in this congregation who has never sinned, I want you to stand up right now. Come on. Anyone who has never sinned, stand up right now. All right. Then let's ask this. Anyone who has ever sinned, stand up right now. Now I want you to look around. You will notice everyone is standing. You can be seated. You see, there is a problem that is common to man in the fact that every man, woman, child has done something in their life that they know is contrary to what God would have. And so we're in a huge boat, folks. Because when you go to the book of Romans and you go to the third chapter in the 23rd verse, it says this, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." All have sinned. That's why everyone in this congregation stood up. Because every one of us stands before God guilty. There have been things in my life that I'm dreadfully ashamed of. But I can rejoice in this one thing. God has forgiven. And because He has forgiven, He forgets. You see, every one of us would have to look at the face of God and have him ask us the question, "Look, Jerry, why should I let you into my kingdom?" You're going to have to answer that. You know, Randy, someday you're going to stand before God and He's going to say, "Why should I let you into my kingdom?" And you're not going to be able to say, "Because my wife was a pretty good Joe." All right? You know, every one of us is going to have to give an account to God. Now, I want you to know something. For those who have taken Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have accepted life, when He asks us that question, we're going to be able to boldly proclaim, "Because your Son forgave and gave me hope and gave me life, and He forgave me." For those who don't know Jesus Christ, they're going to be ushered away to a place that God never intended any man, woman, or child to go to. A place called hell, a place called the lake of fire, a place called eternal destruction, but it's a place where we never die, but we suffer for eternity. Now, for those who have trusted Jesus Christ, what does He promise? He promises us His presence forever. What's so special about that, preacher? Church every day of the week. No. You've got it wrong. You know what the presence of God's kingdom is? It is joy. It is love. It is grace. It is peace. It is health. It is joy. It's everything that we so long for. And we can have it without the drugs. And we can have it without the surgeons. And we can have it without the banks. Heaven is a place of glory. But if you want to go, you must be born again. Born again in Jesus Christ. Born again in the Spirit. You know, there's a lot of talk that takes place today in our schools and takes place in our universities that tries to disclaim God. There's an awful lot of talk that comes out of Hollywood that says, you know what, God is just passé. He's not important. In fact, I don't think he exists. Well, I'll tell you what, there'll come a moment when they'll find out he exists. And there'll be no excuse. And if you happen to be one of those who declares, I'm not even sure God exists, trust me on this, there'll come a time when you know he exists. But it may be eternally too late. Eternally too late. Because you see, there's a penalty that we pay for our sins. And we've all done it. Every one of us. Every one of us in this room stood up when we said, yeah, I've failed. I have failed God. I have committed sin. There has been unrighteousness in me. I know I have offended him. And so we have technically agreed with God when he says, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. You go over just a few chapters to Romans chapter 6, the 23rd verse, and you read an interesting statement. And the wages of sin is death. Whoa. I'm going to tell you, that doesn't mean lying in a pine box, becoming worm food for eternity. Doesn't mean that. It means spiritual death. The wages of sin is spiritual death. You know what a wage is? It's what we've earned. It's what we've worked for. You know those sins that we stood up about? There's a payment coming for those. If we don't find Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that payment is eternal separation from God. In a place called the Lake of Fire. That will never be quenched. Is a place of eternal damnation, is a place of eternal destruction, where nothing is totally destroyed except for hope, except for joy, except for peace. It'll be eternal pain. It will be an eternal reminder, moment by moment by moment. I didn't have to come here. I didn't have to come here. I didn't have to come here. God provided a way of escape for me. I didn't have to be here. And yet this is what I chose. I just can't believe that I chose this. And that's what your eternal conversation with yourself is going to be. I'm eternally separated from all that is good, from all that is kind. And by the way, don't believe that garbage that someone tells you, well, you know, my buddies will be there. No, you'll be there all alone. Your suffering will be so intense that you may hear the screams and the cries of others as they go through that eternal suffering, that eternal torment, and yet you'll be going through it alone. because that's what you choose by not accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. For the wages of sin, that which we have earned from sin, is death. It is eternal separation from God. I'm so glad that Romans chapter 6, verse 23 doesn't stop there, because it goes on and says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The free gift of God is forgiveness. You see, when Jesus talked to Nicodemus about this issue of being born again, Jesus knew that there was a task that he would have to perform. He knew that what lay in front of him was a cross, and that that cross was to be a place of torment, but it was to be a place of redemption. He knew that that cross was to be the only hope that mankind would have to have life. That cross is what would bring hope. Jesus became on that cross our substitute. Jesus says, Jerry, those things that you've done, whatever they are, it's none of my business. Those things that you've done, Jesus is saying, Jerry, let me pay the price for that. Let me take that penalty on. And I'll offer you a gift in exchange. And that gift is life. That's what I'll give you. Randy, Jesus stands and he offers to you forgiveness and the gift of life, eternal life, so that you don't have to go to a place of eternal torment and suffering and sorrow, but that you can go to a place of joy and peace and health and laughter. That's what Jesus offers you. And you see, he offers that to any one of us who will simply come to him and repent of our sins and ask for his forgiveness and ask for him to come into our lives. And he's promised, look, anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast them out. But anyone who will come, I will receive. And I'll take out of them the heart that is stone. And I will place in them a heart of flesh that beats with the righteousness of God and the joy of forgiveness. Jesus Christ offers to us salvation. He offers us life. Folks, how can people turn that down? How can they turn it down? God says, look, I want to give you an eternity that is filled with all of the good stuff you can possibly imagine. I want to give that to you freely. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ literally came from heaven and died in order that we could have life, in order that we could have forgiveness, in order that we could have peace with God, in order that we could have peace in our soul and in our spirit and in our conscience and in our mind, in order that we could have life. Jesus Christ came and died that he might give that to us freely. Freely. You can't buy it. But he offers it freely. An escape from eternal separation from God. An escape from eternal torment and torture. An escape. And it won't cost you a red nickel. life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's free. But you have to reach out and take it. It's freely offered. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is freely offered. But you must reach out and take it. Here's the good news. It's easy to do. First, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that He has come to this world in an effort through His sacrifice to bring you life. You have to believe that He is God. That's not that tough. Believe. Second aspect of that is then you must repent. To repent means that you have to agree with God that you've sinned. We all did that this morning. We all agreed with God this morning that we've sinned. Every one of us stood up and said, yeah, yeah. Now here's repentance. Repentance means that we need to be sorry that we did those things and sorry enough to stop with God's help. That's repentance. A willingness to turn our back on our sins in order that we might have forgiveness. Repentance. Believe that Jesus Christ is God. Repent of your sins through the realization that, you know what? Our sins are what nailed Him to the cross. And so we're the ones that caused Him pain. We need to be sorry for that. And sorry enough to turn our backs on sin through repentance. So we must believe. We must repent. Third, we must invite Him in. Jesus said, anyone who invites me in, I'll come in. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 verifies that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And have fellowship with Him and He with me. Anyone. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how heinous a deed you've done. Doesn't matter how minute a deed you've done. God says, look, if you'll invite me, I'll come in. And we'll have fellowship. So you need to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Believe that Jesus Christ is God. Repent of your sins, inviting Him in or receive Him. All right? And then believe that His word is true. And when He says, anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. We can trust that. Because Jesus is not a liar. I'm going to tell you something. The world is liars. Because they're of their father who is Satan. And Satan is a liar. And in fact, the Bible tells us that Satan is the father of all lies. And so we can't trust Satan. We can't trust the drug dealer. We can't trust the pimp. We can't trust anyone who's involved because their life is a lie. But we can trust Jesus Christ because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we want to go to heaven, we got to go through Him. Nicodemus, don't be amazed when I say to you, you must be born again. Without the born-again experience in Jesus Christ, you have nothing to look forward to when this life's done. And I mean nothing. Eternal means exactly that. Eternal. In Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Apart from Him, we have eternal torment. Doesn't seem like much of a choice to me. Doesn't seem that tough. What about you? What are you going to choose? The Bible tells us, choose you this day whom you will serve. God or Satan? Choice is yours. Jesus Christ reaches out to you wanting to give you eternal life. But He won't force you. You've got a decision. What'll I do? Will I receive Christ and have life? Or will I remain dead in sin? Let's stand. I'm going to ask you at this time if you would please take your hymnals. I'm going to ask you to open up to number 327. Jesus Christ is here today and He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to have life. But He's not going to force you. He's going to call. But He's not going to force you. The Bible tells us, call upon Him while He is near. He's here. Today, why don't you give your life to Jesus Christ? We're going to have a word of prayer and then we're going to sing this. We invite you to come. Jesus said, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. We want to give you a chance to acknowledge Jesus Christ publicly today as your Lord and Savior. And I want to pray with you and I want to show you how you can invite Jesus Christ into your life. So if God is speaking to you, we invite you to come. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, I pray for the one who has walked out and ask, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit might rest upon her, that You would speak to her in no uncertain terms about the importance of this decision. And then, Father, I pray for each and every one who has remained and pray and ask that Your Holy Spirit would speak to those who need to have life. Lord, I pray that You give them courage, strength, and the faith to reach out to You. And so, Lord, as You're calling us to Your side, may we respond publicly. Jesus, You died publicly for us on the cross. Help us to respond publicly to You. So, Father, do Your work. And if You're speaking to anyone here today about their need of eternal life, Help them to step out and come forward. And we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.